I need somebody to know and to understand that I'm anointed for this. Yes, yes, yes. I want you to have the revelation that you'll never be defeated. It helps you to stand and declare, I'm anointed for this. Because sometimes the enemy will try and make you think that the very thing God told you to do, because something didn't go the way you expected, because it didn't just unfold 100% without problems. Sometimes the enemy will make you think that you misheard God, that you didn't go in the right direction. But I need somebody to really declare in their spirit, I'm anointed for this. Yeah, we are a liar. I'm anointed for this. Give it to you for the latecomers so you can have it. Judges, he read Judges 6, 12 through 17, verses 28 through 31, and then chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Judges 6, 12 through 17, 28 through 31, and then chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. And I'm not reading it again, but when you get the chance, read the entire account of Gideon, because that's what the Lord is going to do. But there were some things that God pointed out in those specific scriptures that he lifted up. Father, use me to preach your word. Anoint your people to receive your word. Send your spirit to completely pour out your purpose into this word and anoint this word for the edification of your people and the glory, and that you may get the glory. Decrease Tamara, increase your spirit. Have your way in this room. Have your way virtually. Oh God, let somebody be encouraged that they are anointed for this. It might seem hard, God. The devil has been in their ear. Their flesh has been rising. But God, let somebody know that because you have called them into this space with you, that they have been anointed for this very assignment, and give them power on today. God, as we get ready to position ourselves to transition into a new month, yes, God, I pray, Lord God, even now, that as the word goes forth, those chains, those shackles, those bondages that have been holding your people back from completing their assignment in full, that you will break them today. The inadequacies, the insecurities, the past remembrances, God, remove and destroy it now in the name of Jesus, so that they can walk in your power. Be glorified In Jesus' name, amen. I'm anointed for this. We arrive here in the text today, finding the children of Israel yet again in a place of divine oppression because of their disobedience. They're not in this place just because the Midianites have the ability to overtake them, but when you read the account, the Lord says, because of your disobedience, I'm going to give you over to the Midianites for a season and a period of time, because you keep falling, you keep backsliding in my presence, you keep worshiping idol gods, and you keep living outside of my will, and since you can't seem to get it straight without somebody else correcting you, I'm going to allow the Midianites to oppress you for a season so that I can come and rescue you so you can remember the God that you serve. And I just want to stop even right here. Sometimes we get into situations and we ask God, why in the world am I here? And God has to remind us sometimes that because of our own disobedience, because we think we can do what we want, how we want, when we want, sometimes God allows divine oppression to take place in our life. That sickness is just a temporary oppression to get you back into his presence. That hardship is just a temporary oppression to get you back into his presence. That lack of finances is just a temporary oppression, because every time you get what you ask from God, you get to a place where you forget God, and God has to pull us back when we get to a place of forgetting him to remind us that he is the only one that can and will do it. So they're in this place of divine oppression because of their waywardness and disobedience. And he opens up again just saying the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so he gave them over to the Midianites. Then he introduces us to an unwilling character by the name of Gideon. And when he opens up telling us about Gideon and the angel of the Lord visiting him, it says in verse 11 that he found Gideon threshing wheat in a wine press. The fact that Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press is really significant. Wheat was normally threshed in a designated space called the threshing floor. Threshing floors were hard, smooth, open spaces prepared on either rock or clay and carefully chosen for maximum exposure to the prevailing winds. This allowed the wind, which usually came out for a few hours a day, to blow the straw away. As the grain was tossed into the wind together with the straw, leaving the actual grain to fall on the floor. Threshing floors were no hiding places. They were visible spaces. Wine presses were the opposite. They were square or circular pits, which were either hewn out of rock or even dug out of the ground. Gideon thrust out his wheat underground in a wine press and not in an exposed threshing floor. But why underground? So that he could hide from the prying eyes of his enemies, the Midianites, who were ready to confiscate whatever little grain he was threshing. Check this. He was doing a divine work in a depressed, fearful, and hidden state. Let me say that again. He was doing a divine work in a depressed, fearful, and hidden state. Help us, Lord.
Help us.
For the times that we did the right thing the wrong way.
Yes.
Help us, Lord. For the things we left on the floor of our wine presses because we were fearful of the sight of our enemies, because we were fearful of what people would say, because we were fearful our past would come back up, because we were fearful of the things we thought when we encountered. God, forgive us for threshing out our wheat in wine presses. Here it is, Gideon is doing the right thing in the wrong way. And some of us think that in 2021, help me, Holy Ghost, that we can continue to do God's work the wrong way and God still be glorified. But God is saying, even right now to me, in this moment, when the wind comes to separate, when the wind comes to take away the straw, when the wind comes to test the works of our hands, will we find the wrong things still on the ground? Will we find the wrong things mixed into the purpose that God has given us, because we decided to hide out in plain sight, doing the right thing the wrong way? Have we really petitioned the Lord on how we're supposed to complete this assignment? Or are we doing it the way everybody else expected? Are we living fully and boldly before the Lord, doing the work of the Lord the way he called us to, despite what they may say, despite what they may feel, despite what we are going through? Are we doing the right thing the wrong way? Gideon was doing the right thing in the wrong way. And because of that, because of his fear, he misunderstanding the presence of the Lord. Don't you know when you're doing the right thing the wrong way and the Lord shows up, it puts you in position to miss the presence of the Lord. When the angel of the Lord shows up, Gideon is like, who are you? He shows up and he says to Gideon, mighty man of valor. And instead of Gideon accepting the proclamation from the angel of the Lord, he's like, first of all, who are you talking to? Second of all, if you're really the angel of the Lord, why in the world are we going through all of this? Look at verse 13. He says, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? When you are in a depressed and fearful state, it will cause you to not understand what's really happening. It will cause you to misunderstand the realities of life. It will cause you to either blame God or blame the enemy for the things you've gotten yourself into. Gideon should have understood we were disobedient here. We are worshiping Baal, worshiping an idol God. So, of course, the God that we serve is not happy or content with the state of us. But instead of Gideon just receiving the word from the angel of the Lord, he was like, you ain't talking to me because I ain't got no valor. Second of all, if you was really with us, why are we going through all this hell? Why are we in oppression again? Why can't we get out of this thing? And I want somebody to be encouraged. Sometimes when the Lord shows up, you gotta just accept what he's proclaiming. When he calls you a mighty man, a woman of valor, accept what the Lord has said. When he shows up, instead of saying, why are you doing this, say, thank you for keeping it, keeping us in it. Sometimes we complain instead of worshiping, because the truth of the matter is he could have killed them. He should have killed them because of their first time being massively disobedient. But he decided to keep them anyway, just like he do us. And we act like Gideon. God, if I'm really a blessed servant, why my kids acting like that? Why don't you just worship me? God, if he was really on my, if I'm really not going to be defeated, why I just lost my job? Don't worry about that. I got you. Worship me. Accept the proclamation. Okay. Lord, help me. He did not understand the assignment. But my first point, Lord, help me. I'm just going to go with the Lord this morning. Anointing supersedes inadequacies.
Yes, God. Ooh, say that again, Pastor.
He was fearful. He was depressed because he did not understand that anointing supersedes inadequacies.
That's it right there. Feels on the
board. Let me read 12. An angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us, and where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Instead of taking accountability for what they did, here they go, blaming the Lord. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Listen. For every natural valuable Gideon lifts up, the angel of the Lord simply responds with reassurances of God's assurance. And we got to get to a place where we stop questioning God every time he gives us an assignment, every time he tells us to walk in purpose, every time something new unfolds. We got to learn to get past our inadequacies, because your inadequacies has nothing to do with the power of God. Your inadequacies has no power over the anointing of God. When God calls you into a specific place for a specific time, for a specific reason, he gives you a specific anointing to carry out that which he just called you into. And we got to get to a place where we ask God to help us to see it in the natural and stop just depending on the help us to see it in the spiritual instead of just looking at it in the natural. Because when we do that, we will forfeit what God is calling us to do. And we will waste time asking God to confirm what he confirmed when he called you in the first place.
Yeah,
come
on. Yeah. What?
You preach this.
Oh, God.
Every natural variable. The angel of the Lord doesn't even address the inadequacies getting in this up.
It ain't even worth it.
Right. How many times have we sat in God's presence? God, you know I'm not strong enough. God, you know I don't have enough resources. God, you know, I don't got enough support, God. And we sit and we wait for God to answer us. And he sits there and he says, but I'm with you.
Yeah, come on.
Go.
Go.
And Gideon ain't the only one that's like, yeah, I heard you say that, but I still don't think I'm able to do this. God, don't you know my past? God, don't you know my struggles? God, don't you know my insecurities? God, don't you know I'm fearful of talking in front of folk? God, don't you know I ain't got the temper to be bothered with people coming for me? God, don't you know I don't like being in front of the camera? God, don't you know I don't like working along so-and-so? God, don't you know my family said I ain't never gonna be nothing? God, don't you know those places I went and I had no business? God, don't you know, and the angel of the Lord knows all of that. He simply says, but I am with you. And I need somebody to be encouraged on this morning. All of those things that you think disqualify you. Matter of fact, God took it into account when he called you in the first place. He knew you would feel too weak, but he said, go anyway. He knew that you wouldn't feel like you were smart enough, but he said, go anyway. He took it into account before he ever called your name. So don't disqualify yourself by lifting up things in front of the Lord, but lift up your Lord in front of the things that try to keep you bound. Yeah, I might not feel strong enough, but I am is with me. Yes, I might not feel smart enough, but I am is with me. Yes, I might not have the right resources, but I am is with me. Yes, I feel like I ain't got the right support, but I am is with me. And he said he anointed me for such a time as this. He anointed me to overcome the overcomer. He anointed me to get over this sickness. He gave me victory in this trial. He gave me victory in this tribulation. He gave me victory in this situation. I might not seem victorious now, but if I start a journey, victory is coming. Know that every insecurity that you feel, every remembrance of your past, God is reassuring you. He is with you. He just kept saying, but the Lord. And I want to move on, but I feel in my spirit that somebody needs a breakthrough by confessing that over themselves this morning. This sickness seems like it's going to take me out, but the Lord. These problems in my house feel like they're going to overwhelm me, but the Lord. This issue that I'm facing on my job is stressing me out, but the Lord. These addictions my family is going through seems like my loved one ain't going to get it this time, but the Lord. It feels like I can't do this thing you call me into, but the Lord. 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 I am is with you. I am is keeping you. I am is holding you. I am is making a path for you. Not only does God get reassurances, God don't need a reminder of who you are or where you've been or what you have. All he wants is a yes. God, but just say yes. I know what you did, daughter. Just say yes. Because unless you forgot, I sent my only begotten son to die on the cross and to shed his blood. And when you confessed him as Lord and Savior, the blood cleansed you. So who you used to be, you not no more, because the blood washed it away. Who you used to be, you ain't no more, because the blood washed it away. They may not forget, but I forgot him, because I told you, if you repent of your sin, and if you come into my presence, that I will wash you white as snow. They might still call me dirty, but Daddy said I'm white as snow. So I can do what he called me to do. So I don't have to remind him who I used to be. I need to remember who Jesus is. I need to remember who Jesus is. I need to remember that he shed his blood for the remission of my sins. I need to remember that his blood cleanses me head to toe. We need to remember that his blood purifies our hearts. We need to remember that his blood, hallelujah, and the power of who he is makes us live right in his presence. He don't need to know who you are. Before the foundations of earth,
come on,
he chose you. Yes. Come on. He knew the sins you was going to commit before you committed them.
Yes, he did.
And I really don't think, Minister Johns, we really think about what that means. Because sometimes our sins catch us off guard. God, I can't believe I just said that. God, I thought I was delivered. Surely you can't still use me. God said, I knew you was going to do it before you made the decision to do it. Still going to do what I told you to do. It caught you by surprise that you fell, but I knew where you was going to fall. That's why I sent my son for every sin. Not the sins you did 5 years ago, but even the sins you commit after you have professed me as Lord and Savior. You are not bound to the sin, but it doesn't mean you won't fall temporarily sometimes to the sin. But when you fall, I need you to get up, dust yourself off, repent, really repent, make a conscious choice not to do it again, and get back to the assignment. Sometimes we get so stuck in the things that we've done that we drop the assignment and hold on to the sin. And God is like, you got it backwards. Drop the sin and pick up the assignment because you're anointed for this. So in the text, Gideon has the audacity. Y'all talk about me later. It's hot, hot. I can't do it. It's about to fall off anyway. He is like, okay, I'm reassured that you're here. But I still need a sign.
Yes.
And the angel's like, you ever see these TikToks and the girl does? I send them to y'all all the time. The girl is like, oh, come on, Gideon. God is like, what? So the angel says, get the unleavened bread, get the bullock, get the stew, place the bread and the bull on the altar, on the rock, pour the juice over it, and the angel of the Lord causes a fire to come from up underneath the rock. No gas, no fire. How sweet. The rock don't have the ability to cause his own fire. It don't say the angel of the Lord struck the rock. It don't say he spoke to the rock. The fire just came out because he understand that Gideon needed that in that moment, that reminder or that sign. But here's what got on my nerve with Gideon. And can I be honest? Here's what get on my nerve about me. God will show you a sign and you'll get a little confident. And the enemy be like, well, you sure that was the right sign? So you go back asking for another sign. It wasn't enough for the angel of the Lord to have fire come out of an inanimate object that didn't have the ability to produce fire on its own. He had the audacity to go back and say, well, if it's really you, I'm gonna wet this fleece. And if it's you, dry it up. The angel of the Lord is like, all right, whatever, Gideon, I'm gonna do it. And Gideon's like, oh, he actually did it. Oh, well, if it's really you, let me put another piece out. And I'm gonna leave this one dry. And I need you to wet it. And the angel's like, come on, Gideon, whatever, man. And he does it. But we do that. God, I need a blessing. I need you to show up. He shows up. And you're like, wait. Really? Did this really happen? Is that what you asked me for? Why do we get surprised in the things that we petition and beg and cry and moan and beg and cry and moan God to do? He doing it and we're like, oh, you did it? You don't believe in the power of the Lord? Stop asking God for continual signs. You need to ask God for the faith to believe the sign he sent the first time. Gideon kept asking signs because he didn't believe in the God. And I want somebody to understand, just believe in the God who created you. Believe in the God who saved you. Believe in the God who did it before, that he can do it again. Stop asking God for signs for things he's already told you to do. You don't need no another sign. You don't need no another testimony. You don't need no another, and I know it's not proper English, so excuse me for all of those that's looking for that. You ain't getting that today. You don't need no another prophecy. You don't need no another person laying their hands on you. You don't need nothing else to come before you. All you need to do is believe in the one that said, I anointed you for this, and I called you for this, for such a time as this. And then lastly in point one, I'm still in point one. I'm trying to get out of here, I promise you. He was downloading so much. Go in the strength you have, and God will provide the strength you don't have. He tells them, mighty man of valor. He said, surely, in verse 16, surely I will be with you. And you shall defeat the Midianites. Check this out, as one man. And what we missed and what Gideon misses, God was already setting him up to understand who he thought he needed and what he thought he needed in order to complete the assignment. God was about to flip his whole life upside down and say, nah, bro, you don't need none of that. You don't need none of these things. I am surely the one that's going to do it. Go in the strength you do have. Stop saying, God, I need more before I go. God's like, I am with you, and I am all you need to go. You might have a little strength, but if you just step out on faith, every single step you take, you're going to get more strength. You're going to get more power. You're going to get more anointing. You're going to get more ability. You're going to get more direction. You're going to get more support. You're going to get what you need, but you got to go. Anointing supersedes inadequacies.
Yes.
Anointing supersedes your past. Anointing supersedes your problems. Anointing supersedes your insecurities. Anointing supersedes the lies of the enemy. And what you gotta understand is supersedes means it has more power than, it's above than. And you just need to remind yourself the anointing is above every negative force that shows up to try and stop me. Amen. But then, anointing, point two, fine, I'm on point two now. Anointing, check it out, empowers you to destroy enemies and change the hearts of men. Woo. Anointing empowers you to destroy enemies and changes the heart of men. I promise you it's an attempt. 28, and when the men of the city arose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down. And the wooden image that was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was being offered on the altar, which had been built. So they said to one another, who has done this thing? And when they had inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it. And 31 says, but Joash said to all who stood against him, would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down. Wow. What you gotta understand is, prior to this, the angel of the Lord had told Gideon, you need to go into your house and tear down the idol worship, the idol altars to Baal, because the true and living God wants to do something in your life. So it's time to tear down the idols. I'm going to say that again. It's time to tear down the idols. I don't know who that's for, but it's time for you to tear down the idols of your job, the idols of your relationship, the idols of your own standing, the idols of your own mindset, the idols of your own perceptions. We may not worship Baal, but there are some things that we worship above the Lord, because we think they have more significance to our lives. And the Lord is saying, just like he sent Gideon to tear down the idols in the family, help me, Jesus, the idols in your family, the idols in your family. Somebody knows that there have been some things erected in the lineage of their family, and God has given you divine insight to go and to tear down that witchcraft, tear down those values, tear down those generational curses, because God is saying, I can't move in the freedom I need to move until you tear down some things. But we gotta understand, when you begin to destroy the idols, when you begin to destroy the hindrances in your life that block you from operating in God's will, you're gonna get some enemies. Because there's gonna be some people associated to them idols, the idols that really keep you bound in the presence of God, those idols that keep you stagnant, those idols that keep you out of the will. When you begin to tear those things down, the people associated to those idols gonna get a whole attitude and try to take you out. Yes, they will. You're gonna get some enemies. Don't think when you begin to do the work of the Lord the right way, everybody gonna be for you. No, they not. Even in the church.
Wow.
They not gonna be for you. Yeah, the same people that say, the Lord is my light, my sign. Them same people, when you start tearing the idols that they share with you, they gonna get attitude. But don't be dismayed, don't be weary, or don't be discouraged. Tear them down anyway. Watch, because God is gonna give you power to stand strong in their place. And even the ones that try to hurt you, the ones that try to destroy you, God is going to give them a revelation to their destruction if they don't get it right. Don't be afraid to tear down the idols. But here we are, Gideon's again. The Lord already gave him reassurance. Help my voice, Lord. The Lord already gave him reassurance. And while he tore the altar of Baal down, he still did it in secrecy. He waited until nightfall, until they couldn't see who did it. when you read the text, it says they went after midnight so that they can destroy the idols in secrecy. But on today, I want to encourage somebody. God don't want you doing nothing in secret. God wants you to openly declare war against the things that have erected itself in your life against Him. You don't want no secret blessing, and God don't want no secret destruction of those idols. And although He still honored Gideon and He still blessed Gideon, there were still some stipulations and some things Gideon forfeited by not doing it, because what he didn't understand, and I just have to believe in my imagination, if he did it in the daylight when I Am was still with him, if the people had came up, I Am would have took care of those people. So I want somebody to be encouraged on this morning. When you begin to tear down the idols, when you begin to tear down the temptations, when you begin to change your ways, when you begin to change how you walk, when you begin to change how you talk, when you begin to turn your life around, don't be scared to do it in daylight. It don't matter what they say. Again, because I Am will be with you. And when they come up against you, He's going to raise a standard against them and uphold you. He's going to 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 uphold you. Because when you get to verse 34, it says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Then he blew the trumpet, and the Abizarites gathered behind him. Don't you know, when you do the work that God has called you, He'll send some unexpected support. Because what you got to understand is, at one point, the Amorites were in conjunction with the Midianites. At one point, the Amorites worked with the Midianites to oppress the people of God. But when God blew His Spirit upon Gideon, those same people that used to be his enemies became his support. So I want somebody to be encouraged. When the wind of God hits your life, there's going to be some people that's going to come support you. You ain't got to side eye everybody. Yeah, they might have talked about you in the past, but in this season, God is sending them as a lifter. They may not have understood who you were in the past, but God is sending them as a lifter. Why? Because He's got His breath on you. The Spirit of the Lord is coming upon us in this season. No. I got one more. My bad. That's just one too. I got one more. You know, I'm back to costume. I'm Baptist in the point of fact, and I got my 3 points. It may come out on a Pentecostal way, but I got my regular Baptist 3 points, I promise you. So here's point 3. Anointing requires disconnection.
Amen, amen, amen. Come on. My God.
Yes.
Anointing requires Judges chapter 7. And all this still has to do with the fact that I'm anointed for this.
Come on.
Because the call was to go against an army of hundreds of thousands of Midianites. That was the call. But the call gave birth to some anointings, but some of the anointings that unfolded didn't make sense. It don't make sense that my inadequacies don't matter. It doesn't. It don't make sense that I'm getting more enemies doing the right thing, but the anointing will cause that to happen. And then the anointing requires disconnection.
Cut it off.
Chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Yeah, pray for my voice. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who laughed, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go. I'm going to say that again. Let all the other people go. Let all the other people gone. Every man to his place. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent away all the rest of Israel. Mm. Every man to his tent and retained those 300 men.
Yes,
now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. Disconnection does not mean, check this out, the person is no good for you. Nor does it mean they're no good to you. Sometimes God allows disconnection simply because we rely on others more than we rely on him. He needs to show us that his glory being manifested in your life is not dependent on someone else's presence. It makes sense that these 30,000, even though they were still unnumbered or outnumbered by the Midianites, it makes sense that 30,000 would be able to do a little something against what they had. But God said, no. Some of them got fear in their heart. So everybody that don't really want to be here, tell them go ahead about your business. And somebody, you better ask God for revelation of the Holy Spirit, because there's somebody connected to you that seems like they want to be here, but in the trueness of their heart, they don't really want to be bothered, because they understand that where God is going to take you is going to be some warfare. They understand that there's some things they're going to have to sacrifice. They understand there's some things they're going to change. So they smile and say, yeah, sis, I got you. But their heart is fearful. And God is saying, when I reveal them to you, let them go. Let them go. Don't mean they hate you. Don't mean they ain't for you. They just can't go. Because their heart is not in it. Help me, Holy Ghost. Sometimes we take people because they got the right resources, not knowing they ain't got the right heart. Sometimes we want to keep people because they got the right skill, but they ain't got the right heart. It don't matter how gifted you are. If you ain't got the heart, you gotta go. It don't matter how much you love me. If you don't believe in the assignment, you gotta go. It don't matter how much money you got, how much you tithe, but if you ain't really got a heart for the ministry, just because you love God and love the people, I'm sorry, you gotta go. You can't stay in this space, because you become a liability when you got the wrong heart and the right stuff. Help me, Holy Spirit. Some of us got some spiritual liabilities in our life because we think they got the right things, but they got the wrong heart. And God is like, you gotta let them go.
Disconnect.
Oh,
that's the word.
Let me hurry up. He started with 32,000. But when the angel of the Lord told him it was too much, 22,000 went back home.
Jesus.
Leaving him with 10,000. You would think, all right, God, 10,000 is a good number to go and defeat another army. But God said, not so. You still got too many.
What?
I need to shave your numbers down a little more. So separate them by those who lap water like a dog and those who drop to their knees to drink. By the time they finish drinking the water, another 9,700 people left, leaving Gideon with only 300 minutes. I used to, when I looked at this, I said, God, you took those that stayed long enough to get refreshed for the assignment.
Wow.
But you didn't release them for the assignment. There were some people that's going to be on this journey with you that are going to get refreshed in the Spirit of God right along with you. And then God is going to say, they're refreshed. Now they're released to go. Sometimes we think when somebody gets refreshed in the same space with us, that means that they are now prepared to keep going along the journey. And God is like, I refreshed them for another period. I refreshed them for another season. I refreshed them for another assignment. And sometimes we get mad. And here's the other thing. Sometimes God causes things to happen in untraditional ways. And church, we got to get these things out of our mindset, that things have to happen the way grandma and granddad and them used to do it. Because if it don't show up like that, it ain't really God. If it don't show up in the ways they said, it ain't really God. If they don't dress in the way that they used to dress, it ain't really God. If they don't speak in tongues until they water and out the mouth, it ain't from God. If they don't sit on the mourner's bench until they really repent, it ain't really God. If it was God, it would look like this. And God, even in his text, showed them, you may have expected it to be like this. You may have expected it for them to show up and operate in this way, but I'm doing a new thing and an unconventional way so that you can see even the dirtiest, nastiest, unworthy people that the world thinks don't deserve to go. Those are the ones I'm going to send. And I need somebody to get encouraged, because sometimes the church, and let me apologize on behalf of every leader that told you you couldn't do it because you used to be a prostitute there. You couldn't do it because you used to be a drug addict. You couldn't do it because you used to sling dope. You couldn't do it because of the people you lay with. You couldn't do it because you wasn't the right skin color. You couldn't do it because you didn't do what they wanted you to do. I apologize for every leader that misrepresented what God wants to do. God don't care about none of that. Matter of fact, God will use all of what you used to do and who you used to be to go back and save those that's still out there. You don't have to do it the traditional way. You don't have to cry in tongues for 20 hours. You ain't got to lay on the floor and tarry for the Holy Spirit. You ain't got to do all this stuff. You ain't got to wear a jewelry on your head and a skirt titty. You ain't got to do any of that. All you got to do is trust in the one who sent you. Trust in the one who called you. Be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. He did an unconventional thing with an unconventional people. He did an unconventional thing. And it can be confusing when God strips you of everything you think you needed in order for you to do what he called you to do. It's scary, Brother Bobby, when God tells you, go do this, but they ain't going to be around no more. Wait a minute. They the ones that helped me to get to this point.
Right.
Because the 9700, they had their resources. Because as soldiers, they would have had all of the weaponry. And because they didn't go home with the other 22,000, they had the heart. But they still wasn't released to fulfill the assignment. And they weren't released to fulfill the assignment so that neither they nor Gideon can take credit for what God is going to do. And some of us have had some people, and I will raise my own hand, Minister Fahim, there were some people in my life along this journey of ministry that I knew was going to go all the way. And God was like, no, they're not against you, but they can't go with you, because if they go with you, or when I elevate you, y'all might make the mistake of saying because they were there to support you is why you are here. And I need you to understand, you're only here because I am is with you. You're only here because I gave you my assurances. You're only here because I pre-anointed you for this call. And I need somebody to understand, everything that you're losing in this season ain't a loss. It's just a divine removal so you can stand firm on the one who really sent you. It's a divine removal so you can stand and believe in the one and trust in the one and lean on him. Sometimes we lean on people the wrong way.
Wow.
Ooh, get out my notes, Josh. There is no codependency in the spiritual or natural things. Let me say that again. There is no codependency for spiritual things on natural resources. And God is saying, I had to remove some stuff because you were depending on them and depending on the resources and depending on what you had instead of depending on me. And since God will not share his glory with no man or no resources, he stripped you. So dry your eyes, because here's the thing. He's not going to strip you forever. He's just going to strip you long enough for you to stand on him and him alone. He's not going to let the resources dry out completely, but he's going to allow them to dry out enough so you understand that he was the one that gave you stewardship over it in the first place. He is the one maintaining it, and he is the one that's going to continue to supply it and upkeep you. So we told Gideon, the 97 got to go. And you only got 300 left. You only got 300 left. But here is the victory in the text. Then the Lord said to Gideon, not the 300 men who left. I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hands. By the little bit you got left, I'm going to save your kids, and I'm going to give you victory over the enemy. About a little bit you got left, I'm going to empower you to raise your family and still defeat the enemy. By the little bit you got left, I'm going to give you power to overcome your trials and still give you victory. There's duality in this blessing when he gets to losing everything. After you lost everything you thought you needed, now here comes the salvation and the power of the Lord. The salvation and the deliverance of the Lord. You thought you needed all of this, and God said, nope, now that I stripped you of everything that was really hindering you, now I can move. And somebody needs to know that in this season, God has been stripped and remove it so he can replace with divine resources. He took those people so he could give you divine resources. He took the money so he could give you divine resources. He allows you to be sick so he could give you divine resources. The divine resource of his peace, the divine resource of his strength, the divine resource of his power, the divine resource of his presence, the divine resource of his assurance. Is there anybody in the room who's happy to know that when God removes some things, he also replaces it with what we need? Hallelujah! He replaces it with what we need. And he gives us victory. 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 It may not seem like it right now, but you got victory in the Lord. Yes, God. It may not seem like it, but you got victory in the Lord. You can't receive what he's got because you're holding on to what he said. Let go. Get victory in the Lord. In the Lord. In the Lord. When it's a divine removal, it makes place for a divine replacement. Thank you, Jesus. This season is coming for a divine removal in order for a divine replacement to come. And you got to stand assured, Son of God, Daughter of God, that I am is with you. And he's anointed you for this. It may seem uncommon and it may seem strange that this big assignment requires small support, but God is saying, I still anointed you for this. This great warfare requires small prayer partners, but you're still anointed for this. This transition that I'm pulling you into, this sickness that you're battling, these problems in your household, you may feel like, God, I need more. But God is like, I can do more with less, because I am with you. I am with you. I am covering you. I am keeping you. I anointed you for this. I anointed you for this. I anointed you for this. And you need to be reminded that as long as you exalt the Lord, you'll never be defeated. Keep exalting the Lord. You'll never be defeated. You know when it doesn't make sense to worship him, worship him, and you shall never be defeated. It may look like it, but defeat will not be your portion. It may seem like it's not working, but you'll never be defeated. You'll never be defeated. You'll never be defeated. Because God is exalted in your life. I just want everybody to say this with me, with power and conviction. I'm anointed for this. I am anointed for this. It might seem hard, but I'm anointed for this. I might cry when they leave, but I'm still anointed for this. Just because he removes them don't mean you ain't gonna have some natural feelings, but don't let your natural feelings get you caught up and miss out on the move of God. Just because you ain't got the support, just because you ain't got the finances, just because you keep getting bad reports, just because people keep talking about you, just because people keep turning their back, It don't matter. I'm anointed for this. Even when your own inadequacy, you ain't smart enough. You ain't kind enough. You ain't got nothing. I might not have it, but Daddy got it. And he gave me the reassurance that he's going to give me what I need. And I need somebody to be encouraged. You got the reassurance of I am that I am with you. You are anointed to overcome. You are anointed to heal your family. You are anointed to overcome the enemy. You are anointed to restore the family. You are anointed to release. You are anointed to overcome the addiction. You are anointed to complete the assignment. You are anointed to complete the assignment. You are anointed for this. You are going to. I pray that I encourage somebody.